What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Outspoken, informative,
the Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
All right, bright and early on a Saturday morning, it is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there listening. I am Perry White, glad to have you guys with this rainy morning here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Shout out to everybody listening locally on Talk 107.3 FM here in the Baton Rouge Capital City area and everybody watching. Of course, each and every week you hear me shout out our YouTube and Facebook Lives, all the people who get a chance to watch us from all across the country, who tuned in trying to figure out what's going on down here in Baton Rouge and in particular Southern University. Glad to have you guys with us. This basketball season is, we're coming on the back end of things. We're down to the Elite Eight. I was talking to you about your brackets last week. I don't know how they looking this week. Probably not that good, huh? But this year, not too much of a Cinderella story. The only team I considered to be pretty much in a Cinderella situation was the Arkansas Razorbacks, as they lost in the Sweet 16 to Texas Tech. They were the 10th seed, the highest seed left amongst all the teams in the field. And now you basically have one versus two. I think the only matchup that's not really 1-2 is Texas Tech, who is the 3 seed. But other than that, this thing is pretty much rounding out the way that we looked at it. 1-2, 1 seed versus the 2 seeds. And we're down to the Elite Eight. And we'll be down to the Final Four. And before you know it, we'll be crowning a national champion. Are your brackets straight? Are they in shambles? I have a bracket lead. We in this Yahoo Sports League, so we do our fantasy football through that as well as March Madness. So it's about seven of us in this group. This is where you make your brackets and it rank. Right now, I'm still number one, where I belong, at the top. I won the Fantasy Football League. Now it look like I'm headed. I don't want to speak too soon, but it look like I'm headed to win this March Madness bracket. I'm pretty much straight. I had Iowa State in my Elite Eight. Iowa State didn't even make it to the Sweet 16. That's one of the teams that kind of threw me off. St. John as well. I thought St. John was going to make it to the, I think, what was it? My Sweet 16 matchup was Iowa State versus St. John. It's kind of threw my bracket off a little bit. Not too much, but just a little bit. So let me get ready to take a break. Just kind of getting you guys in, trying to get my voice going and just trying to wake up a little bit. But guess what? We're going to have more because I want you to stay tuned of the Jaguar Journal. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. More of the Jaguar Journal. Good morning, everybody. I'm Pierre White. Glad to have you guys with us. Wake up with some energy this morning, right? It's a little rainy down here in South Baton Rouge. Hey, no rain going to stop nothing. We know that. The weather is good. It's still warm outside. It is the spring, and it is March Madness. As we're getting ready to head into April, but before we do that, we're talking about the NCAA tournament and looking around at some of the brackets. I asked you guys, what do your brackets look like? Last week, we went through the first two rounds, the opening round, as well as round two, the round of 32. Now we're down to Sweet 16, and today and tomorrow we'll have the Elite Eight. Let's start in the South, right, in that bracket. Sweet 16, Auburn, number one seed, Auburn taking on number five, Michigan. And then it was Ole Miss who found themselves all the way in the Sweet 16 against Michigan State. Now, I told you guys before, Tom Izzo and Michigan State have snuck by me this year. They were the two seed. They are the two seed. And Ole Miss was the team watching from the SEC tournament. They got past Arkansas, knocking down a three-pointer as time expired. And then they took Auburn down to the wire in the semifinal game before getting eliminated in the SEC tournament. Now you look at the NCAA tournament. Ole Miss comes in and knocks down number 11, North Carolina. This is where the bracket got wacky for me because I had Iowa State to move on, the three seed, but Ole Miss beats Iowa State handily, 91-78. And then Ole Miss found themselves in a Sweet 16 matchup against Michigan State. Michigan State got it done by 73-70 over Ole Miss, and Auburn gets it done over number five seed Michigan, who was really tough, 78-65. So out of the South, now we have an Elite Eight matchup between number one seed Auburn and number two seed Michigan State. Now, this is where my Elite Eight kind of went bad because I had Iowa State getting all the way to the Elite Eight. I thought Iowa State was a pretty good basketball team this year. I thought them as a three seed had a possibility of getting this far. They did not. They let me down early on. Early on. We're talking about in the round of 32 let me down. But in the Elite Eight, number one Auburn taking on number two Michigan State in the South region. I'm going number one Auburn in that one. I think the number one seed Auburn team, especially if you watch them this year, I had a chance to go see them at a game against LSU this year. They have the length. They are very efficient at scoring, and guess what? They play defense. And in this day and age, you got to have a team that plays defense. Let's look in the West, right? My Sweet 16, two teams didn't make it in, but one of them I was happy they at least made it to the Sweet 16. Let's start with number one Florida, who made it to the Sweet 16. They took on number four, Maryland. Now, I had Memphis getting to the Sweet 16. Memphis was not as good as I thought they were. I tried to put faith in Memphis. Memphis gets knocked out in the opening round against number 12, Colorado State. 78-70 as Memphis came into the NCAA tournament as the fifth seed. Maryland found themselves in the Sweet 16, taking on number one Florida. Maryland, of course, the fourth seed coming out of the West. And then the other game in the Sweet 16, number three seed Texas Tech taking on, hey, Arkansas Razorbacks, who was the highest seed, left the Razorbacks, the 10th seed, who had knocked off St. John and Kansas to get this far. Let's start with number one Florida to get the victory over number four Maryland, 87-71. Florida handled business. This is another team representing the SEC who went in, took care of business, and moved on, and then Texas Tech and Arkansas. Arkansas seemed like they had this game handily, right? They seemed like they had this. It was good to go. As time expires towards the end of the second half, Texas Tech battles back. They knock down a late layup, and they win this game 85-83. And I actually had St. John making it to the Sweet 16, so it was going to be the two seed St. John versus number three seed Texas Tech for me, and then in the top, it was going to be number five seed Memphis taking on Florida. That's where my bracket got messed up right there. But listen, Florida still made it. So now in the Elite Eight coming out of the West, I have Florida, the number one seed. They'll be taking on the number three seed Texas Tech. Raiders, I'm going Florida in this one. Once again, SEC, I think the Gators get it done. They seem like a team that is very tough to beat. Now let's go to the East. We're looking at some teams that made it to the Sweet 16. Now my East bracket pretty much worked out except for one team. Let's start at the top. The number one seed, Duke Blue Devils, taking on number four, Arizona Wildcats. Duke broke the scoreboard 100-93 in this ball game. And then at the bottom of that bracket of the Sweet 16, number two, Alabama, the Crimson Tide, took on number six, BYU. I had the number three, Wisconsin Badgers, making it that far. But Wisconsin lost to BYU 91-89. And I actually didn't even have BYU making it out the first round. I thought that was one of my upsets when they took on number 11 seed VCU, Virginia Common University. I thought VCU was going to be able to get it done, but BYU got on a hot streak. They beat VCU. They beat number 3 seed Wisconsin. But then it all came to an end against number 2 Alabama. Alabama gets the victory 113-88 over BYU, and that sets up an Elite Eight matchup, in which I got right in my bracket, everybody. Number 1 Duke versus number 2 Alabama. This is the first time in my bracket where I actually have both the teams in the Elite Eight where it worked out. And that's in my East now. My South and West, I have one team in each one of those Elite Eight that got in. But the East looked like I got that one right. And then we look at the Midwest. Let's go to the Sweet 16. We had number one Houston taking on number four Purdue. I got that one right. 62-60, number one Houston, the Cougars move on. And then at the bottom of that one of the Sweet 16, number two Tennessee, the Volunteers. I had them make it to the Sweet 16, but it was not against Kentucky. I thought Illinois, who was the sixth seed coming into this tournament, was a really good basketball team. I had a chance to watch some games of them in non-conference. Illinois could play some ball, but they fell short in the tournament to Kentucky in the round of 32. 84-75 is the three seed Kentucky. Got past them, and then we had an all-SEC matchup in number two, Tennessee versus number three, Kentucky. Tennessee gets it done 78-65. And once again, I got the East and the Midwest right when it comes to the Elite Eight. Number one, Houston, taking on number two, Tennessee. Now you see why I'm in first place in my tournament, in my bracket. Now, things get a little tricky. I hope it works itself out right now. A couple teams got in into the Elite Eight that I did not pick, Texas Tech being one. But then I have for my final four. Y'all ready for it? Number one seed, Auburn, wins the South. My final four, number one seed, Florida, wins the West. Then on the other side, I have number one seed, Duke, wins the East versus number two seed Tennessee, who wins the Midwest. I think the SEC ends up with three teams in the Final Four. Then I'm looking at, for a national championship, two number one seeds. I'm looking at Duke versus Auburn. And for me, watching Bruce Pearl and his Auburn team, the way they play defense, they get up the court, they create turnovers, they're efficient shooting. But Duke can do the same thing. I watched them the other night against Arizona and how they took off on Arizona. But I'm going with Auburn to win the national championship. So that is my bracket. That is my March Madness. But no Cinderellas this year. And the thing about the Cinderellas, now you're starting to see the difference of college programs being able to pay these players. When you're starting to talk about guys are already in the transfer portal right now. We talked to Coach Johnson last week. At that moment, there were 200-plus players in the transfer portal. The world of college basketball, I'm not sure moving forward if we'll be able to see those stories that we saw in the past of Cinderella teams making it to the Elite Eight and the Final Four. That just may be a thing of the past. Because now the players are going to take the money, and wherever the money is, it's going to typically lead to the big programs with the big names. And what's interesting enough, a few years ago, talking about the SEC, and this is some of the conversation I like to have in that same sense when we're talking about the SWAC. The SEC 10 years ago was not a basketball league. Nobody gave a damn about SEC basketball 10 years ago. It was the Big 12, and it was the ACC. Those were your two conferences. The SEC came together with the commissioner, the athletic directors, boosters, and presidents and said, we have to invest in our basketball programs. We have to go out and we got to get qualified coaches around the board. We got to get the best athletes. And we got to pump money into facilities and everything else when it comes to basketball. And you saw over the course of a decade, what happened to that conference? They went out and hired good coaches. They brought in the talent and they started to pump money into it. And that's why you had so many teams from the SEC this year making it into the NCAA tournament. That's why you heard about the SEC in the top 25 in the amount of teams that they had this year in college basketball. It was the investment that they decided to go in, and now it has paid off in SEC basketball. The same could be said for baseball as well. And I bring that back over to say the same thing with the SWAC. As I get ready to close this hour out, well, close this segment out, we have to be able to make those type of investments. As a whole, as a conference, we have to make those investments in order to ensure that us as a conference move forward and are better. And I'm going to bring that back full circle a little bit later in the show when I bring up to you and talk about the MEAC, because right now the MEAC may be in some trouble with the possibility of some schools thinking about leaving. And we'll talk about that as it all comes full circle about investing. How do you take it to the next level? So let's get ready to take a break. When I come back on the other side, I'm going to have Southern University head softball coach, Coach Brittany Williams, come on. We're going to talk about the softball team, their weekend series with Grambling this weekend and what has happened due to weather and looking forward into the season as we continue to push forward. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. Stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there listening to Baton Rouge Capital City area on Talk 107.3 FM. Glad to have you guys with us. And everybody are watching all across the world, the United States and everywhere else on our YouTube and Facebook Live. Glad to have you guys with us. Be sure to go hit that subscribe button, like and follow, and just tune in because we got a very special guest this morning. Want to welcome her to the show because she's no stranger, but she is the head softball coach at Southern University, Coach Brittany Williams. Good morning, Coach Williams.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Jag Nation.
That's that energy I like now. It's 7:30 in the morning. I know sometimes we can be but I like that energy. That's what we need to get us going, especially from the coach, because sometimes the players are a little sluggish in the morning. They may not want to stretch, work out. Coach, nah, we ain't feeling it. But you got to bring the energy in. You have brought the energy to this softball team right now on the season. You guys are 12-15 overall, 4-5 in conference play. You're on a two-game win streak. But most importantly, what I like about this, you guys have defended home, 4-1 at home, defending right there in Jaguarland. What have you seen from this team as you continue to try to change the culture and get this team headed in the right direction for this softball program?
Oh, man, I'm glad you mentioned that home record because my team definitely feeds off energy. So for our first series against UAPB, we had the soccer team out there because we honored Coach Fontenot as Coach of the Year. So they brought their whole squad out there, and, I mean, they were cheering almost louder than we were. So, and then that was like a 12 o'clock game, you know. So for them to come out there and support us and cheer with us, it brought all the energy. So we're continuing to ask our fans to check our schedule, see when we play at home, because the team needs you.
Yeah, you're talking about against UAPB, my mom's alma mater. You guys got the series. You won 4-0, 7-3, fell short in that third game. 2-0. Then you took on Alcorn, got the victory at Alcorn, 17-4, 11-3. Fell short in that third game of the series, 3-2. Took on Texas Southern. Didn't quite go the way we wanted. Texas Southern got the better. And that's always a tough one for Southern and Texas Southern. Every time I've seen Texas Southern softball, it seemed like they bring it when they play Southern.
Yes. It was a difficult time. I mean, we played hard, and those were heartbreaking losses, man. We lost each one of them by one run. Majority of the game, we're up two. So to come back and lose by one run, that hurt. But I know it humbled my team. We have very good defense, very good offense. So what that allowed us to do was increase our offense. So these past couple of weeks, I mean, we've been hitting and hitting and hitting, because one run loss is one little bunt or one little move somebody over will change the outcome of the game.
And you guys currently have beaten Louisiana Christian University this past week. You beat them 8-0, 2-0. Then you had a weekend series this weekend with Grambling. Talk about the, you know, the weather impact and what that's done with your series against Grambling State this weekend.
Man, I waited to the last minute to make sure that we weren't going to be able to play this weekend. Reason being, we had some high school teams coming out, local high school teams. And when you have two Louisiana schools playing against each other, we try to invite all local high schools around so you guys can see what D1 looks like, with two choices that allow you to stay in state. So when we replay that series in April, we you know, put out the same invitation for people to come out and watch us compete, because it's always a battle between us and Grambling. So having to push that back, it hurt, but, I mean, God has his plan.
Let's look at this team now. Let's start to talk about some of the individual players of this team and wake us up to what's going on with the softball team as we go around learning the names of these young ladies and some of the accomplishments that they've been able to have.
Yeah, so one of the ones that stick out the most to me is Alana Mark. This is her senior year, batting 400 in conference on the season, and she just hit her 150 career hit mark. So we are celebrating her, and we're cheering her on and supporting her in this moment. And it's also weird with female athletes sometimes. You get those accolades, and they feel more pressure. So just allowing her to continue to be happy about her award and to continue to push forward and see what else we can get. Miranda Rolden has also been an excellent person on the mound for us this year. This is really like her breakout season. She is leading our staff in strikeouts and keeping us in those one-run ball games. Her ERA is less than 2 on the season, which is, you know, amazing, and not too many swag pitchers have that type of ERA. So she's definitely standing out for us. And we have some stellar defense at third base. Lonnie, she is a vacuum over there. Anything over there, she gets. Against LCU, someone hit a line drive down third baseline. I mean, she dove for it, got up on her knees, and threw the runner at first out, like, with a double play. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm your fan. So love watching these girls play. Love pushing them forward and watching them grow and seeing them hit marks that they didn't even realize they could believe.
I got to ask, because when I come to the games and I hear nobody chants more than a softball team. What else? How did they come up with these chants with the different names? And it's so much. So I'm like, that has to have a practice within itself.
It does. So rainy days, and sometimes if there's no rain, I'll take them off the field and we'll go practice. Each person needs a cheer. We need a cheer for each out that comes along. We need a cheer for when we have 2 strikes on someone. There's a double cheer. So if someone hits a double, they get on base and they tell them to do their dance. So they each got to have a dance to show off. I mean, it's an entertainment business, as well as it gets the team hype. It gets them going and it keeps them engaged. Like, softball is a long game. Each game is 2 hours. So when you have those little cues, we call it the game within the game, it keeps you focused.
And it keeps me entertained, because I'm like, man, I hear something. I'm like, where the hell did they learn that chant? Like, how do you come? That is some of the most creative chants that you could hear. Let's look around at the SWAC softball standings. Let's start in the SWAC East. Let's start at the bottom. Mississippi Valley right now winless in conference play, 0-10, 2-22 on the season, currently on a 5-game losing streak. Right above them, Alabama State, who's 4-6 in conference, 6-26 overall on the season. Alabama A&M, 5-5 in conference play, 14-6 in conference play. Then you see Bethune-Cookman and Florida A&M. Bethune-Cookman 6-3 on the season, Florida and 13-21 on the season, and Florida A&M 7-3 and 11-16 overall. And at the top of the SWAC East is Jackson State, who is 7-2 in conference play. That's 17-11 overall. And then we look over in the SWAC West, Alcorn State at the bottom of the SWAC softball standings in the West, 1-10 in conference play. They're 6-19 overall. Right above them, UAPB, who who you've already got season series wins over both these programs. Golden Lions 3-6 in conference play, 8-19 overall. Right above them, Southern University 4-5 in conference play, 12-15 overall on the season, with Grambling, who we're going to take on this weekend in the series until it got moved. They're 4-4 in conference play, 11-17 on the season. Then Texas Southern and Prairie View, the Texas schools, are the top of the SWAC West. Texas Southern 7-2 in conference play, Prairie View 9-1 in conference play, 15-13 overall. Currently riding a 5-game win streak, the longest win streak, along with Grambling right now in the conference. Looking at, let's start in the SWAC West, where you guys call home against these teams. Prairie View and Texas seem to be right there. Then it's you and Grambling right there behind them.
Yes, this is an interesting part of the season. So we're getting into the part where we call the middle of the season. So we have PV and Grambling just once this season. And then you start getting into the cycle of playing the same teams that you played already twice. So that is always fun. That's when coaching really gets involved, who can better prepare their team for those series. So we're looking forward to turning it around. We definitely have a schedule that will allow us to, you know, jump up in those rankings. We just have to do our part.
Looking at Prairie View and Jackson State, who respectfully are at the top of the SWAC East and West, what about those programs and their coach where they seem to be the division leaders right now? What is creating success for those programs that you can see from afar?
I definitely know Coach Bland. He's great. He's a great recruiter as well. He's coached pro ball over the summer, so his girls are well prepared. I believe that both of those teams have offense that set them apart from the rest of the SWAC. They definitely have a hitting philosophy that's been working for both of their teams, and we're looking to face. I mean, we have the number one defense. So we're looking to face the number one offense this coming week. So we'll see what that matchup looks like.
Yeah, matchups coming up this week. You guys take on Louisiana State University, Alexandria, on Tuesday in a two-game series. You got 3 o'clock and 5:30. And then you guys are going to be at Prairie View, the number one team in the SWAC West right now, taking on Prairie View Friday and Saturday. First, and hey, where are Southern fans at out in Houston? You better get over there and support right. Coach Williams and his team as they're taking on the top team in the SWAC West. Looking ahead at Prairie View, man, what does that matchup look like? You got a weekend off since this has been moved with Grambling, but you're looking ahead now preparing not only for LSU Alexandria, but as well as Prairie View. And I know coaches say, we take it one game at a time, one series at a time. But still, we know they're on the schedule. You have to go on the road. That seems like that's going to be a tough place to try to go get some victories.
Yes, it always is tough when we go there. We're always in the game, and then something happens, we spiral out of it. But this team is a seasoned team. They're mentally strong. They're well prepared. They know what they're up against. And that fear factor isn't there. Sometimes, you know, the number one team kind of already just has that fear factor, which allows them to continue to stay on top. A prime example would be Jackson State, who won last year, and they're on top on their side. And PV, who has won our side since the last 3 years that I've been here. But the kids that I have, they are ready to face that challenge. And they know that if they want to succeed and push forward, that this is a game that they're going to have to come in and win.
Coach, I got to ask you this, and I'm always curious when it comes to coaching. What have you been learning about yourself in coaching collegiate softball and just realize, you know, through trial and error as you go through each season, each year, through recruiting, through coaching in the game? What are you learning about yourself and as you continue to evolve as a coach?
Man, that's a great question. I will say the main thing I learned is to keep talking. So, for example, sometimes it takes them a little longer to comprehend what you're saying, and you're like, oh, man, they're not listening, or they don't understand, or I didn't explain this well, or they're just being defiant. They don't want to do what you're asking them to do. But it's year three. This is last year when I realized, you know, they're listening. You look up and you teach them things like, this is how you steal third. This is what you do if you want to steal second. And it took them a while to get it. And then you look up and then they're standing up. And then standing up on third, which I love. And then this year, I've really seen it I'll be getting ready to come and, you know, correct a player or kind of help them with something that maybe they didn't do properly. And then before I can get to them, one of the seniors has said something.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, I have nothing to say because I don't like to double jeopardy for a mistake. So if someone else tells you, then we're good. We're going to keep rolling. So this year, even during games, I'll come to the huddle to say something, and then they got it. So if you ever come and watch us play, you'll see me walk by the huddle. And I'm like, well, they say what I needed to say. So I will say what I've learned is to keep talking. You might seem like it might seem as though what you're saying doesn't register. They're not picking it up, but they're on their own time. And then if you keep loving them and supporting them, they're going to play for you. So
you have such a sweet voice. I just can't even imagine you yelling at anybody. Do you ever have to raise your voice and it makes the whole team turn around and look like, all right, coach serious today?
Yeah, if I do yell, they look at me crazy. I'll say this was PSG series. We had bases were loaded. The ball was hit to the pitcher, and she went four. We normally go 4-1 to get the double play. But we had called a timeout before then, so my assistant coach had kind of changed the directory that we were going. So I got up, I'm like, 4-1. And they all looked at me. And I was like, something's wrong. Because they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And it makes me calm down. I'm like, I'm not helping them in this moment. So when they give me that look, I'm like, okay, yeah, I need to chill out.
It's all good. Sometimes you got to get that look, and sometimes you got to raise your voice to make sure everybody heard you. And looking forward That's to right. this program, do you guys – what else do you guys have going on? Any fundraisers, anything currently that you guys are working on?
Yes. So we are in Jagathon. I know it officially started. It was a day situation, but we have it going on for the weekend, probably throughout the week. Our players have set up an online platform. So if you go to any one of their social media sites or if you message us on social media, we can send you a donation link. And we will take your donations and bring it to Jagathon, so which, you know, in turn goes to us. So we ask that you guys follow us on social media, find the QR code, and donate to our program. We truly need it.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you coming on this weekend. What you going to do now with Grambling Series being moved? What you doing this weekend?
Man, I don't know. It's crazy.
Y'all gonna work on some chants or something this weekend? What we doing?
Well, I gave them the weekend off. It's raining. And I told them, you know, to self-reflect. Like, take some self-care time. And we'll be back at it again on Monday.
Well, Coach, as always, congratulations for what you're doing right now. You're talking about creating that culture, and you're starting to see it. As you say, you know you're getting that culture when the seniors step up and start to correct things without Coach having to say things. So that means you're headed in the right direction. So, Coach, thank you for coming on this morning. And for everybody out there, the weekend series with Grambling has been moved to a later date due to the weather, the possibility of the rain in the area this weekend. But Coach Williams and the softball team will be in Alexandria coming up, taking on LSU Alexandria this on Tuesday. And then they'll move on to take on Prairie View next weekend. So all of our Jaguar fans out there in Houston, be sure to go over to Prairie View and support the Southern University softball team and Coach Williams as they take on the top team in the SWAC West, Prairie View. Coach, thank you for coming on this morning. Enjoy your weekend. Find something to do this weekend.
Will do.
All right. That's the voice of Coach Brittany Williams, the head softball coach at Southern University. Let's get ready to take a break, everybody. We'll come back and we'll continue to keep going with the Jaguar Journal. All right. All right, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us listening into the Baton Rouge Capital City area on Talk 107.3. And everybody listening out there on YouTube and Facebook, glad to have you guys with us. Glad to have had Coach Brittany Williams, their series, softball series, Southern softball series with Grambling this weekend, moved to a later date, later down in the season because of the inclement weather possibility here in South Louisiana this weekend. So, you know, thank her for coming on this morning, man. Appreciate her for being on, man. She did a great job, and she's doing a great job with that program and moving forward. Listen, have y'all went and subscribed to our YouTube channel yet? You better. Please. Just go on YouTube, type in the Jaguar Journal, and hit that subscribe button, man. We'd love to have you as a follower as well as on our X and Instagram. You can type in the Jaguar Journal _. We're on Facebook, of course, at the Jaguar Journal. And then you go back and listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everything else, man. We just want your support. We're continuously growing it. I'm going to tell you, that piece with Chris Nakamoto took us up. We went through the roof with the subscribers and the people who said, I didn't even know. I'm glad I found out about this page. And see, the thing about it is, there are a lot of loyal supporters who have been listening to the Jaguar Journal well before Perry White ever even stepped foot in this radio station to do this show. This show has been around for 20-plus years. There have been many who have come and have gone who have kept the tradition of this show going. And so what I've realized when I first started doing this show, there were a lot of longtime listeners. But now we're trying to go on to grow in a realm of people who may not have known about this show. Because I'll be honest with you, it's real fickle when it comes to Southern fans and what they listen to and the type of information that they take in. To consider how big our fan base is, it's really hard to really get into our fan base and to get that support. And that's an honest story because I talk about it all the time. We have a lot of fans who love the school, but they may not necessarily just love to hear a show just talking about information. They just want to come to the events, come to the games and those types of things, which that's okay. But as we continue to try to grow the show, we want people to find out about this so we can continue to be able to put out information, create a platform where you can call in or put in the comment section about your thoughts, your opinions, how you feel. And that's the whole purpose of trying to grow this thing, because we keep trying to put us in a realm of an area where we weren't at before. This was simply a radio show, and it has simply been a radio show, and it's going to continue to be a radio show for 20-plus years and counting. But now we're moving into the age of digital media and social media and trying to open and broaden our horizons, because one thing about it with this show, if you're local, you got us on 107.3. If you're not local, you miss us, and it's hard to go back. So we had to create the YouTube channel, the Facebook, and everything else so you guys can watch and stay entertained with the information no matter where you at, so you can remain informed. And the other part was, even with the people that are local, if you don't catch us live, I know 7 to 9 a.m. is tough for a lot of people on a Saturday where you want to chill and you want to relax. So this gives an opportunity for people to go back and watch it, because trust me, you know how many times I was going somewhere on a Saturday and say, man, I missed the show this morning, or I caught it, I just tuned in at 8:45, I have missed the show. Now you can go back and listen and watch and share it with anybody or anything that you hear from this show. So let's get ready to take a break. We're going to the top of the hour. We come back on the other side. We're going to talk some Southern University spring football with the defensive coordinator, Coach Henry Miller. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal.